This is episode number 324 of PhotoBizX, and today we are talking to one of the most successful photographers in Australia. She photographs weddings, portraits, pets, and newborns. She's a cancer survivor. She's a mum of six kids. She's been through some massive ups and downs, but her business continues to thrive. I'm talking about Shireen Hammond, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Hola y bienvenido to the PhotoBizX podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich. This episode is coming to you from the Basque region in northern Spain.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm coming to you today from northern Spain. We, Linda and I, are at a little Airbnb inside a national park in northern Spain, and we have totally lucked out. We were staying in a tiny little village called Potes, which was just beautiful. We almost didn't get accommodation there. We took a risk and thought we'd just drive and see if we can find something when we arrived. It turned out to be the busiest week in Spain. It was a bank holiday combined with a long weekend. Anyway, we found something, but only could get two nights. We had to find somewhere else. We both stumbled across the same Airbnb on our separate devices. Both couldn't believe that it was available for the three nights that we wanted. And here we are, surrounded by forests, mountains, greenery, and bushwalkers. That's just about it. It's just an amazing place. There's these tiny little villages. We called into the local village to grab a drink before we checked in, and it was the biggest, strongest vodka and lime that Linda has ever experienced. She was pretty much useless after that one drink. We met a couple of old locals who were more than happy to have a chat. One of the guys, for some reason, passed me his mobile phone to talk to a friend. It became immediately apparent he didn't speak English, I didn't speak Spanish, so we didn't know what was going on. But yeah, it's been a real adventure, and it just, well, I was going to say it just shows how lucky you can be sometimes if you don't plan everything down to the nth degree. And yeah, it could have been worse. We were prepared to sleep in the car that night, but we've totally lucked out. So yeah, if you want to see some of the photos, some of the things that we're experiencing, I'm posting on Instagram. Linda is updating Instagram and Facebook if you follow her, and you can see some of the things that we're experiencing. I'm going to record the intro and outro for today's episode, and I'm going to head off for a ride on my bike in the national park here. They actually call it a natural park here in Spain, which is kind of nice. I know them as national parks back home. So yeah, I'm going to head out for a ride before the rain comes back or returns this afternoon, but it should be fun. The roads are almost deserted here, and there's a nice 12-kilometer climb that I can get along and ride, which is starting just outside the front door here, or just around the corner. Anyway, I'm looking forward to this interview today with Shireen Hammond. I have been trying to get her on the podcast for so long, and once we got into the interview, which you'll hear in just a minute, you'll notice that Shireen is a great talker. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. But I wanted to go into so many directions. So what I've done is recorded an interview for you today. This interview is going to go out in full, in its entirety, to free and premium listeners. So it doesn't matter which version of the podcast you're listening to today, you're going to hear the full interview with Shireen. But next week is going to be a members-only episode, because what happened, we got to the end of the interview today, I knew there was so much more ground I wanted to cover with Shireen in regards to her marketing and advertising. So we scheduled a follow-up time to record a second interview. So I'm going to save that for premium members only for next Monday. So stay tuned for that one if you're a premium member. As usual, if you're listening to the free podcast episode and you want to get access to the premium versions, you can do that for as little as a dollar with a 30-day trial membership. Head over to photobizx.com/try for more information on that. And just before we do get into the interview with Shireen, we do go into her pricing in this episode. And what she's done is kindly sent me images, photos of her actual price list that she uses for her clients, which will totally blow you away. And these things, they're the size, a little bit bigger than a matchbox. When she talks about them in the interview, you'll hear how small they are. Well, there's a copy of these price lists, of her exact price list, inside the members area. So if you're a premium member, head over to your version of the interview in the members area, and you can see photos of her price list there for you. Shireen is also part of the members Facebook group, so if you have any follow-up questions after the interview, you can access her there. If you listen to the free podcast version and you do have a follow-up question, head over to the show notes, and you can find them at photobizx.com/324 for this episode. In those show notes, I've also got links to anything and everything that Shireen mentioned, plus I've got examples of her incredible work. It really is beautiful work. You really should go and check out her website as well to see the kind of work she does. She is an amazing photographer, super, super talented. And lucky for us, she's amazing at business too. All right, let's get on with the show today.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
In last week's episode, I interviewed Alma Bruffy from Florida in the United States. If you're a photographer who is scrambling, struggling, looking to increase your income, looking for genres that will help get you more clients, more income into the business, get back and have a listen to that interview with Alma. She was a lifestyle portrait or family portrait photographer. There was an environmental disaster that hit her area last year, so she had to scramble. So since then, she started shooting headshots, commercial work, branding photography, using a studio. So she really has had to change things around to keep an income coming into her business so that she can support her small family. If that sounds like you and your business, or if you're looking to hear from someone who is scrambling to make things work, get back and have a listen to that interview with Alma Bruffy from last week. Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Shireen Hammond, and I'll talk to you on the other side.
Welcome to another great dive for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest has been on my radar for an interview for years. And although we've never met in person and only spoken once to reschedule this interview, I've been hearing the name Shireen Hammond most of my photography life. I was introduced to Shireen via email by Tony Knight of This Is My Life Photography, who featured in episode 242 of the podcast. And he said in that email introduction, "Hi, Andrew, here is the email to Shireen Hammond, who is literally the nicest photographer you will ever meet. She's also the best wedding photographer, portrait photographer, dog photographer, and breast cancer survivor." Did I say that she's the nicest? Since that email, which was a couple of years ago now, I've been chasing Shireen for this interview and have finally cornered her. Together with her husband, Rob, they are Field of Vision Photography. She has countless awards for her incredible photography and is still collecting those awards. She was named Australian Family Photographer of the Year in 2016. She is recognized by the AIPP as a quadruple master of photography. She's a mother of six, and she loves to spoil her clients. I'm rapt to have her with us now. Shireen, finally, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good morning. So I know, like, with that introduction, do you listen to that and think, wow, like, it has been a crazy, wild life and business? Or is it, oh, no, that's just me?
I actually think, to be really honest, probably a little bit of both, yeah? One is that our lives are so crazy. Like you said, six kids, five grandkids, then also this business person. And it is a wild ride, and it has been a crazy wild ride. And genuinely, it's given me so much joy. So, yeah, I suppose when you listen to it back like that, yeah, it's pretty special. And I'm very humble and grateful for it. So, yeah.
Nice.
I'm very lucky in the industry.
So although the listener can't see you, we've got our cameras on. I can see you. You don't look like you're old enough to have six kids and have done all the things that you've done.
I really love you right now. I just want to point that out.
Well, look, you may not in a second, because I'm going to break my courtesy rules. Can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 55.
Wow. Okay, 55. Yeah. So you sound like you're still going full steam ahead with the business, and I can see you have a busy, like your studio looks jam packed behind you, the workroom.
Oh, this is the production room. Yeah. You and I are facing it. Please, it would not be like this for clients. I can tell you that.
Well, I mean, it looks like it's a busy place.
Yeah.
You know, are you thinking about winding down and slowing down and enjoying the fruits of your labor? Or?
Well, okay. So to answer that question, I'd have to give you a little bit of history, if that's okay. Can I do that?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so we started in 2004. I was 35 and we used to have a promotional marketing business and we lost that due to a bad partnership, which I can highly suggest to everybody perhaps not to take partners on because, anyway, blah, blah, blah. We've all had that story. But, however, I did wake up on my 35th birthday and decide to say to Robert, you know what? I've always wanted to be a photographer. So I went back to study at night. We had four kids already and he was beautiful. He became Mr. Mum and allowed me to actually go to school and study for 4 years and then qualified. And then we started, we launched Field of Vision Photography in 2004 until today. But with that, it was a real struggle because I've got a sales background. In my first year, I sold 60 weddings on one album. And 60 weddings, which was amazing. And then we ended up shooting 200 weddings a year. We grew the business quite quickly to 200 weddings a year and maybe probably about the same in portraits, you know, and we'd sort of turn over a million, whatever, plus at that stage. And so things were sort of really great. But then 5 years ago, I got cancer, as you mentioned in the when you were sort of introducing me. And it really changed everything for us. I mean, we had 13 staff back then. We had four photographers or five photographers actually back then, plus myself. And we were working from home the whole time. Even though we had studios, it was much easier for us to be able to see the children at all because you know what hours are like in the photography industry. It's days, it's nights, it's weekends. Yeah, so when I got cancer, I had to stop. It wasn't a question of could I keep going. I kept going, but for 11 months I was going through chemotherapy, so I had to find something else to do. And we really, it really made me stop and go, what am I doing? And we were making a good profit at the time, but to be honest, we were really working hard, both Robert and I, and probably to feed everybody else. And the studio and the overheads and, you know, and we had to have so many clients to make sure that kept going. We had a beautiful 152-year-old cottage in Eltham and we had a really funky, grungy Fitzroy studio warehouse in Fitzroy. And, you know, it was all well and good and we still love the business. Don't get me wrong. I love the excitement. I love energy and excitement and moving forward. And I've always been a little bit of a believe in whatever I believe I think I can do, I'll convince everybody else I can do it and then I'll find a way to do it. I don't know. That's just the way, and probably in that order. That's the way it goes. But after I had cancer, I just really looked at everything and went, what am I doing? I can't breathe. You know, I can't keep that energy level up. I used to do three or four weddings in a row, you know, triples and quadruples. And I missed most of my children's birthdays and, you know, half of Christmas and everything for the customer. But there's a point in your life where you suddenly go, you know what? I need to live for me now. I need to live for my family. I've sacrificed them. Unfortunately, I get a bit teary. I've sacrificed them enough and it's, you know, time to do something for me. So, and my family. And so I actually just decided to calm it all down and I spoke to Bernie and I said, Bernie, look, things are going to turn very quickly because Bernie, I don't know, I didn't mention, but I used to work for Bernie when he started Claire Fox. I was one of the girls that used to sell him for Gregory's and Claire Fox right back then. So he was a bit of a mate. So
sorry, what's Claire Fox?
Oh, that was Bernie's old business or his wedding business. Bernie Griffith, who's one of your lovely people that you speak to all the time and he's a business coach. Yeah, so it was his wedding business. So I kind of like, I went to work for him and sort of sold the weddings for him. And then when I'd filled up him and the other photographers, I was allowed to book myself. And that's kind of how I started shooting. So he was has always been a beautiful friend and a mentor to me, actually, along the way. Even when I had cancer, I called him and said, Bernie, I need something to do. Quick, help me. And, you know, he was right there. He is a beautiful man. And I paid him, not being funny, I paid him for that month because I believe – You know, when you get something for nothing, sometimes people don't appreciate it. But when you pay for something and you've got no money to pay for it with, boy, do you make sure you actually utilize that knowledge and put it to actual use immediately. You know what I mean? So I know I'm sort of, this is hard, Andrew, because I'm jumping all over the place because it's a very big story. So you might have to edit this a lot.
Not at all.
I can only tell it to you sort of as it happened. So I couldn't shoot anymore. So I decided that I would do a personal project because I kept seeing outside my window when I was going through chemotherapy, I kept seeing dogs walking past and then the people of Eltham walking past, and I would sort of sit at the window and I was doing some video diaries on my treatment and everything for people who were perhaps coming after me with cancer because it's quite scary. You don't know what's going to happen next, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, maybe I could do a project. And so, ended up doing a bit of a book. But with Bernie saying, look, Bernie.
For the listener, you held up a book there to the camera and it was, I didn't catch the title of the book.
It is Home Is Where My Dog Is.
Right, okay, beautiful, beautiful hardcover book.
It's beautiful. It's a coffee table book. But, you know, Bernie and I came up with that quick idea because we were starting to lose the business with having cancer. 11 months out, we really had to close down one studio because I just couldn't drive the business. Robert was doing everything he could, look after the family, look after me, look after the business that he could. But Robert's always been more in the production area. I usually drive the business. So it was just, you know, things happen. And as they say, you know, life can turn in a heartbeat. You don't know what's around the corner. And so we just decided, you know what, we've got to let it go. We've got to bring it down and we've got to make it into something a lot more copable because there's no way. I didn't know whether I'd be able to actually carry on the amount of work that we were actually doing at the time. So anyway, so that's kind of what happened. So we did. We closed down the Eltham studio. Only last year we closed down the Fitzroy studio when we realised I really wasn't going in there anymore because we actually moved into a rental property that's on an acre that's a lovely big old house and it's just got a great room that's a great viewing room, shooting room, you know, meet and greet room, and it's awesome because it's on an acre. I've got a place to shoot, but Eltham anyway, being honest, I'm a location shooter with being a wedding photographer, so I absolutely love going on location anywhere, everywhere anyway. So
awesome. So can you give us a snapshot of the business now? Because when I go to your website, I can see that, you know, you're shooting weddings, you're shooting portraits and you're shooting commercial work. How is the business structured now? What are you shooting most of?
So I came from a commercial background because you know how I said I had promotional marketing companies?
Mm-hmm.
We used to do all the garments for the Grand Prix. So people like Shell Helix Racing, Holden, Honda, Robert designed the garments. We manufactured them in-house and I came from that. And the only thing we didn't do for the Grand Prix, for the catalogue that we put together and all the promotional merchandise in it, we didn't shoot it. The photographers that came that we hired to shoot it, I kept going, oh, shit, I could do better than that. And, of course, I couldn't. But, you know, in your head you go, why can't they notice the detail? I'm very attention to detail. And that's, I think, how I've built up my craft because I'll take an extra second to make sure the dress is perfect on a wedding, blah, 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 that kind of thing. The makeup's not smudged. The girls are looking gorgeous. And my background's dance also because I danced from when I was 4 to 17, even though I don't look like it right now, just saying. But I've got body movement. So, you know, I understand the body and how it works. So direction and attention to detail really stood us in good stead for building that business very quickly. Just because I really care about making sure the bride feels amazing. And weddings were where we started because I've got a very big focus on weddings and I love them. I get to be a control freak, organize people, all the things I like about my very funny personality, be a mediator for problems, blah, 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 blah. So what was the question?
What about now? Tell me about your business now.
So now... With Bring It All Back Down, it really is just Robert and I. And a lot of those wedding couples, you know, I said, seriously, we had 200 weddings a year and we did that for so many years. A lot of those couples come back because inside the albums that we gave them, because we used to insist on doing an album for any of the couples that we had, because I believe in print and the value of print. Nobody's going to want to see, touch, feel a CD, DVD or USB later. So for me, just personally, I love that whole book feeling and touching. Sure. So we used to say you had to have an album with our collections, not packages. Just going to point that one out. And then, and with that, they would come back. We would give them a voucher saying, thank you so much for actually, you know, coming and being with us. And this is just a very genuine thank you gift. It's a voucher that goes with the album. You can have a forward shoot in any time you like in any of the years to come. I will come out free. I will shoot your family. You could use it for pregnancy, portrait, you know, babies, newborn, anything that happens, generations, anything you like. It's $400 worth, free shoot, and a 7x10-inch matted wall print.
Right.
Thank you. I cannot tell you how many people have come back over the years.
Wow.
And they kept it and they remember. And I made them stick it inside their album lid so that they wouldn't lose it.
Nice.
So we did these little things.
So it's always there.
Yeah, it's always
anytime
there.
Anytime they look at it, right? Okay, so again, I'm going to ask you, I need a short answer for this one.
Sorry.
Tell me about your business now. What are you shooting now most of? What's bringing in the most income?
Portraits by far. Weddings are great, but I've reduced it down to around, you know, 15, maximum of 20 maybe a year. But portraits we're doing, I'm doing a lot of newborns, families, and it depends on the year, being honest. It's probably between 100 and 140 a year.
Oh, families or portraits?
Portraits, so right. A mixture of newborn or families.
Right. Yeah. And you're still doing, like, pets as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, people who love their pets, they love spending money on their pets and it's great. So They're a great portrait client to have, Definitely.
I just want to fill in a touch of the backstory just quickly. When you decided to become a photographer, you said Rob, you know, became the stay-at-home dad. So you guys must have been...
He worked all the way through because he's a graphic artist.
Oh, so he was working from home,
Looking
after the kids while you were studying. Why did you decide to go and study photography instead of just being self-taught like most photographers today and starting a business?
I think because I've always had this attitude of if I'm going to do something, I want to do it 100%. To the best of my ability, because I had some photographer friends and I'd always had a camera in my hand anyway, I knew I wasn't nailing the kind of shots I could see other people doing. And I said to Robert, look, I really want to go back and study. And this is while we had our full-time business, by the way. So I went back and studied at night and it just gave me the feeling of comfortability so that I could come from a base of good knowledge. We didn't have back then, remember, I did that many years ago, and there wasn't really I don't feel that there was the kind of wealth of information that you can get over the net nowadays where you can do a lot of studying online. I'm a very in-person kind of person. So I needed that interaction, that immediate kind of understanding, being able to ask a million questions in person, not waiting for a response 2 days later, you know, blah, blah, blah. All that meant a lot to me. So, and because I, from my sales background, I used to do a lot of self, you know, working on myself, like, you know, watching Zig Ziglar and going to Tom Hopkins and all those old greats, you know, the old great speakers, the motivational speakers. And I did a whole course with Alan Pease, who's a body language expert, you know. I like learning as an adult. I just didn't love it as a kid. I think so.
I totally get that.
Yeah. So, you know, and of course, because it's something that I had a passion for, and I genuinely do mean a very big passion for, it was easy to learn that way.
Sure.
And I loved it. So even though it was exceedingly difficult having four kids, studying at night, assignments at weekends, running the business through the daytime because we had that promotion marketing business through the daytime. And I was exhausted. I'm not going to lie. I was exhausted, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Okay, so moving forward now, let's stick to portraits as our main topic and focus.
Yeah, sure.
But when I go to your website, and now that I know a little bit of the backstory and the listener does too, and I'm sure they'll get the same feeling when they see your work looks professional. I mean, there's no mistaking that you are getting the shots on all your shoots. Your lighting is fantastic. The posing is impeccable. The composition, like, there's no mistaking the fact that you're a professional photographer, but you also have this sales and marketing background that you bring to the business. If you're talking to a new photographer today, what do you think is the most important aspect to build a successful business? Is it the photography? Is it the marketing? Is it the selling?
Okay. I said this to it. We had some students. Steve Scalone brought some students from NMIT yesterday, and we had 12 people in the room. I'm going to say to you exactly what I said to them. There's a little piece of gold I'll give you, and it may seem the most silliest thing, but if you can take this through your career, it will make a mammoth difference to your bottom line. Ready?
Go for it.
If you treat the person who's in front of you or the people who are in front of you as the most important people in the world the whole time you're with them. That means no being interrupted by phones, no being, you know, distracted by anything else other than listening to them, talking to them and treating them as if they are the most important person in the world, your business will go, it will grow mammothly. It seems such a simple concept, but the one thing that I learned is that if you can make people feel special, if you can look them in the eye and speak to them beautifully, if you can genuinely listen to what they have to say and talk more about them than you and listen with two ears and use your mouth once in comparison, you will have lifelong clients that just sing your praises and love you and come back to you because they feel good when they're with you. You make them feel good.
I agree. I love that that's your secret and I love that you're sharing that and saying that and I believe it too. So don't get me wrong here, but I had a conversation, I recorded an interview with Bernie just recently.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take it out of context, but his view is that treating someone like the most important person in the world is great. Every photographer should be doing that, but what most photographers and or a lot of new photographers aren't doing is creating great saleable work in the first place. So it doesn't matter that they're treating their client like the most important person in the world. What are your thoughts on that?
So do you know what I love about this, Andrew? Bernie and I have been arguing with each other for the whole of our lives together. We love each other so much and we come from both sides, yeah? Bernie is great for me because he's my, you know, the yin-yang thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, get on with it, Shereen. Do the business. Don't muck around, you know. But I like bringing both. I do think that it's very important to have both, which is why I actually upskilled myself properly first so I could bring both. Because once I learned how to shoot and understood lighting and, and I knew that I had the way to be able to talk to people and look after them. But honestly, that's how I sold so many weddings in the first year. To sell 60 weddings on one album and no, you know, and an empty studio, like seriously, that was big back then.
Okay, Shereen, that first album, I'm guessing, I'm only assuming here, that that wasn't of the same standard of photography that you're shooting today.
Oh, my God, I cringe if I look at it.
Okay.
I've kept it for so funny. But I can tell you, Andrew, I can tell you, before you say anything else, I can tell you one thing. Because that couple loved me, they forgave me everything, I'm just going to tell you. So part of what I'm saying is so important that, you know, where I probably went, they were kind of like, oh, my God, I love this. Or do you remember when we did this? You know, because we had such a good time doing it together. So although I cringe, they love it. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. But that really, you know, drives home your point and goes against a little bit what Bernie said in that the quality of the album or the photography at that time didn't matter as much as the fact that you treated your clients like the most important people in the world. So that to me, I mean, does that tell you that that's the most important aspect?
For me, it will always be the most important aspect. And I'm being honest about that. I'm not saying don't learn your craft. You've got to learn your craft. But at the same time, as you grow and develop as a photographer, there's no way that you don't get better. If you practice hard, and I have to say something to you, I cringe at that album only because it was my first album, yeah? It was still reasonable.
I'm sure it was bloody good.
It's not the standard that I can do now, right? But you all have to start somewhere. This is the point. So for all the newbie people coming through, you have to start somewhere. But I'm going to say something to you, and I hope people don't take offence to it because I'm quite adamant about this. If you're going to shoot a wedding, do not practice on somebody's wedding day. How dare you? You must make sure that you practice on every other person, every other way, because that couple only have one chance at it. They only have one chance at it, and you stuff it up. Do you know what I mean? That would be horrendous.
I do. Look, I agree with you, but I think, you know, if you're charging $6,000 or $8,000 for a wedding, that's different to a photographer that's coming into the industry charging, you know, $1,000.
I'm going to challenge you. Why?
Well, because if that client, if they're paying a lot less for a photographer, you can't expect the $1,000 photographer to deliver what the $8,000 photographer does.
Okay, let me challenge you again.
Sure.
If you scraped every single penny that you had, Andrew, and it was all you had, and you scraped together that money to get a photographer, and you knew that that caliber wasn't the $8,000 person, you would love that, but you couldn't do it. and you got your $1,000 photographer, wouldn't you want the very best that you could out of that $1,000 photographer? Wouldn't you still hope that they knew what they were doing?
Absolutely, yes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, practice the way so that you can get as good as you can before you're doing your first wedding, because we all started with small margins because we didn't know what we were charging. Half of us didn't understand about business back then. Now, I was lucky because I did have a business background. A lot of photographers worry about their self-worth, don't feel they could charge this. And I do agree, if you're not that great, you're not going to charge big money. But at the same time, you know, you should definitely be able to do the basics, you know, before you sell yourself as a photographer that can deliver. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
That's all I'm kind of saying.
I agree with you. I do agree with you.
But like, I'm coming from the client's perspective because that's who I think about most, the client, no matter what.
Well, let's take that a step further. So when you say treat your clients like the most important people in the world, like how can the listener take something away from that? I mean, yeah, like it sounds lovely, but how do we put that into practice? What does that mean for you? What can someone take away and implement as a result of what you do?
Okay. So if you want to show somebody that they matter, I guess the thing is that for me, it's about an experience. When they come to me, they've got to have an experience right from the get-go, from the way you greet them at the door, from the way that your studio looks, smells, feels, cleanliness, the displays that you have up are the displays that you want to sell. It's so important. That is a very big thing, to make sure that you show the sizes and the kind of products that you want to sell and make sure that they're there. The way that you greet them, bring them in, make sure that they settle. They could have had a really shit drive over, excuse my language, but they could have had a really bad drive over. They could have been arguing in the car. It's your job to make them feel so welcome and happy and homely and warm, cool if it's hot outside and warm if it's warm, you know, warm if it's, sorry, cool outside and cool if it's hot outside. You know, it's your job to come in and settle them and not just go right into a sale. You know, you're not selling anything. You should be just selling yourself and it naturally comes. I'm not saying this very well, actually, Andrew, at the moment.
No, I'm getting the gist here. But so just take me back a step, Shireen. Do you do pre-shoot consultations for your portrait clients? Or
absolutely.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely.
Are they in person or on the phone?
Always in person. Unless they're overseas or interstate. If they're interstate or interstate, I'll do Zoom or Skype.
Okay. So let's say a local person, someone lives, a family, or let's make it more real, a mother sees your work or gets a referral or sees a promotion that you're doing.
Yeah.
She calls you up. She's a local mother and she wants to book a family shoot. What happens?
Okay. So then first call is obviously to speak to them on the phone. And the next part would be to literally organise a time to get together for around half an hour. Usually it takes me now, by the time we chit-chat, because we get so friendly on that first meeting, but normally it's a half an hour pre-consultation in person, and that's because I can then genuinely take them through everything that we're going to do, get them excited about the shoot that we're going to create. I work on it being a bespoke shoot, that I'm not doing the same thing for each of my clients, but I actually try and bring in some element of difference based around what they really want. Because obviously we work it together. I help them with styling for the shoot, the actual colours that they're going to wear, the hair and makeup that they're going to wear, because I don't do hair and makeup in-house. I don't want to do that anymore. It's a pain in the butt for me. So I just show them how to do, you know, what needs to be done, or just tell them to have hair and makeup done as if they're going out for a lovely dinner, you know, so that they feel comfortable. I work on the mother. I usually only need to see the mum or the person or the dad if it's the person who's going to organise the rest of the family for the shoots, the person who's doing that, and then talk to them about actually getting themselves ready first, because they're really the catalyst to the whole shoot. And, you know, often if it's the parent who's staying at home, whether it's the mum or dad, they're the ones that don't get in the photographs because they're taking all the photographs all the time. Whereas for me, what I explain to them and why I want to see them in person is because I want to show them how important it is that actually we make sure that we capture them this time and their family, not their family and them. And the importance of that is that I know that for 7 years I wasn't in photographs with my family because I was taking them all the time. And it's a 7-year gap that I'm so upset about, because I can't believe that nobody even said, oh, get in the photo now, Mum. And I don't have photos with my children. That's been able to give me the genuine intent of why I explain to, you know, mums and dads why they should come in, why we should have a good talk about it, why we should do something that they really want, not just do what I can do.
Sure.
It's what do you want? How can I make that for you? How are we going to put this on your, you know, do you want this in the wall? And I do all the selling almost in, I suppose, in point before we've even started the shoot. They know the prices. They know the kind of products they can have. They can kind of choose what they like whilst we're talking about all the styling and everything else that we're going to do for the day. It just makes it so easy. So that means that I just don't have the no sales I used to have early days when I didn't really know what I was doing.
So when you get this initial phone call, do you get any resistance from the mother, let's say it's the mother, about coming in to do a pre-shoot consultation?
Maybe not, because of the way that I'm comfortable with speaking to people. And once you sell the dream of why it's important that they become the main focus of this shoot, you can't help but, I suppose it's because I'm very good at relating with people. You know, whether they're sort of, if they're working class or if they're blue collar or if they're, you know, from Toorak, whatever, because of my old sales training, I guess, and learning about body language and talking to people and everything else, that really does help come into play. It's a really good thing to sort of go out and learn some of that. If you have no people skills, it's a really good thing to learn. I just know how to connect with people and relate, I guess, because I've been doing it for so many years, and obviously I'm a talker, you can tell. Well, by this conversation.
Well, don't take this the wrong way, Shireen. You are a great talker, but when you're talking to the client, do they get a chance to talk, or are you doing the selling?
No, because as I said to you earlier, once we get going, I'm getting them to talk to me about their situation, what they would have loved out of this. I get them to tell me a little bit about their history. Why are they wanting this portrait? You know, you're asking me to talk to you, so I guess I'm being your client.
Of course, of course. Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Don't take that as a...
And you're doing to me exactly what I do to my client. You're pulling me back to the right conversation. You're guiding me with the kind of answers that you want. And even if I go off tap, you bring me back, yes?
Yes.
That's a skill, Andrew, and that's a skill I have too. That's what we've got.
Got it. Okay, so you organise this pre-shoot consultation.
Yep.
Mum says yes. She comes over to your studio, to your home.
Yep.
And the house is lovely, or the meeting place is lovely. Did she get a glass of wine? Did she get a coffee? What does she get, a foot rub?
So what happens is when they come in, I have this little thing that I do, and that is that I don't take them into the room straight away. I actually say, I start just talking to them like a person, genuinely. Oh, so how was the trip over? Was it okay? Oh my God, did you hit that elf in traffic? You know, blah, 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 blah. And I'll say, now, what would you like? Tea, coffee, water? And they'll go, oh, no, thanks. Sometimes they'll say, oh, a cup of tea would be lovely. I say, come on, come with me. And I take them into the kitchen and I stand there and I just make a cup of tea for me.
Oh, wow.
Cool. They say no. I say, well, do you mind if I get one? I've been talking all morning. And then I go and I take them with me. And the first thing I do is just stand and start having a conversation. No sales.
I love it. I love it. So they're like they're a new friend or part of the family already.
Correct. Correct. And by the time you actually take them into the room, they go, wow, because it's set up beautifully. If I had my laptop, I'd show you. It's very simple. It's just one room, but it's set up so it feels nice. Yeah. Because one of the things I want people to do is when they walk into the door of my house, because it is my home, I've always had this thing where I learned, and it might have even been from Bernie, actually, to be honest. You want them, when they walk in the door, to feel like they're going to bring out their Amex, not their Visa.
Yes. I got it. I like it.
I'll let you stick with that one. So that's how I've always set up my studios, so that they feel like they're going to have to bring out their Amex, not their Visa.
So I take it then that you do accept Amex.
I accept everything. I do. You've got to make it easy for people.
Of course. If you don't
make it easy, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. You're shooting yourself in the foot for the extra sale. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so that's how I used to.
When you start to discuss pricing, like, do you have a printed PDF? Do you have a booklet? Do you just have pricing stickers on your wall art? Like, how do you discuss pricing with this client?
So very openly. So what I do is, first of all, I do that friendly thing, yeah, then bring them in, and then we sit down and they usually go wow with the work, which is really lovely. They just love it. And we do everything, but that's when I start talking to them about everything they want. I don't go into any pricing to begin with when they come to the studio. I've talked to them on the phone about it, but I haven't actually shown them sort of, you know, what it's worth yet. So what we do is that when it comes time to actually going through the pricing, we're already really friendly by that stage.
Just before you continue on with the pricing, because I do want to go into that, But just answer me this. If the client or the inquiry calls up, or the person inquiring calls up, and they say, I love your work, Shireen. You were recommended by Amanda. I just want to get an idea of pricing.
Yep, absolutely. So just tell me, Andrew, Amanda referred you. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much. You'll have to thank her for me. And, you know, she's gorgeous, blah, 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 blah. Do the congratulations bit just to take it off it for a second and say, so just tell me so that I can give you some pricing. Happy to do that. What kind of thing were you after, Andrew? Were you after wall art, or were you after, you know, have you got a big house, a little house? What have you got?
Okay. So you start chatting.
I start talking first about what I'm not going to sprout a price without knowing what they want.
Right.
And I want to give them a real price. If they tell me that they're going to have a really massive piece, they've got massive walls in their house and they've been looking for, you know, a big piece on the wall, then I'll tell them the truth.
Okay.
You know, I don't believe in sugarcoating stuff.
If I say to you then, Shireen, I really love what Amanda got, and we're looking for a piece for the living room to go above the sofa. It's just a medium-sized house. And we had a shoot done a couple of years ago. We want to update it.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. So what I would suggest then usually is that I'll give them the prices of the wall pieces. I'll say, look, the kind of thing that I do is I normally do more of a bespoke shoot. So what I will do is I will normally ask you to come in and actually have a look. Like, I can tell you the prices now, but unless you see the product, it's really hard for you to understand what you're paying for and why. But I can tell you that pieces, art pieces for the walls, start from $375 fully framed. That's a 7x10, but then go on from there. So some of our couples will spend something like, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Some couples will spend $500 to $1,000, but the average couple will spend about $1,500. Now, they normally spend, to be honest, the average sale I've got is at the moment, the average sale, including those sales, is $2,700.
That's your average, right? So you don't actually give that figure to the client. You're just trying to make them feel comfortable and find their own, right?
Yeah, because I don't want people to come if they actually aren't going to spend anything. There's no point. It's a waste of everybody's time.
Sure.
Yeah? So there's no point in hiding it.
Yes, true. Let's fast forward. So I'm at your house now. I've fallen in love with the artwork on the walls. I've got a cup of tea in my hands. I love you. I've probably met Rob. We've had a laugh together. When are you going to start sharing prices now?
So now I start saying, I'll just say, so, okay, let's talk about your home. What's your home like? And then they'll describe their home to me. I'll say, so do you think if it's going to be a wall piece, have we got lots of windows in the houses, which a lot of houses do now, or have we got, you know, wall space? And then I'll go through that and I'll decide, you know, because I suggest I have some big pieces on easels so that they can't say to me, oh, well, I don't have the wall space. I'll say, because you can do an easel, yeah? You can put a big piece on an easel, yeah? It's just a clever thing to do. Because if you see the room that I've got, it is completely windows with just a couple of little walls in it, but I show big pieces on those walls.
Right.
Yeah, so show what you know you can sell, yeah? Mm. And then what I'll do is I've got this tiny little picture, a 6x4 photograph, fold it in half. That's the size of my price list.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It is not scary. It is one of the most ingenious things to do. Give them a little something that is not scary or complicated at all.
Okay, what can that possibly have on it unless it's tiny, tiny writing?
It's tiny. I have to get one. It's so sad that I can't show you. Hang on a second. Do you need my computer on? Hang on. I have to show you. It's so funny.
So for the listener that's wondering what's going on here, we had to turn our cameras off because the internet connection was falling over. I've just turned my camera back on. So I'm looking at the field of vision price list. So it's a 6x4. So it's not a 6x4 folded in half. It's like 2 6x4s that you open up.
No, look, that's the size of my hand.
Oh, really? You were just holding it close to the camera. It is small.
86 in my hand. It's like, there's the price. So see how it's just got the...
Yeah, so it's only printed on one side as well. So you've got individual prices from 7x10s up to 30x45s.
Yep.
So from $375 up to $1,995, and then you've got collections and then display portfolios. Okay, so three different options.
That's it.
Wow.
Keep it simple, stupid, the old KISS system, right? When you put something like that in there, oh, there's a business card. Hang on, I'll just show you.
Oh, wow. So it's a tiny bit larger than a business card.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I do that is because it's not scary. You're going to sit with them and you're going to show them this little price list.
I love that.
I get them to stand up with me and I will do this. So, Karina, and I put it in their hand and I'll say, let me show you. This is a 7x10. So how much is a 7x10? And they'll say 375. I go, that's right. And look, this is a 4 up. and how much is the four up? And then they have to point to it and find it on the price, and they go, oh, that's $15.90. So what's happening is when they're telling me these prices that are on here, I'm getting them to say it out loud so that they get used to the sound of it. It's not scary anymore. By the time we finish and I've taken them to the 2,900 piece of the 7-Up that I know they're going to get, it's not scary. So wow. What we end up getting is usually a wall enlargement plus also a box set. And the box sets, the portfolio box sets are $14.90.
Wow.
So they start for six images, $14.90. The 7-Up big piece that I have on my website, if people go to my website, they'll see it on the, you know, client reviews.
Yes.
On my website. Mm-hmm. There's some pictures with some, you know, reviews of clients who have bought things from me. And you'll see the 7-Up is sitting there. That's 2,970. So, you know, and I'm aiming for the $3,000 per client if I can. That's what I aim for, around $3,000 per client if I can.
I love it.
Now, one of the biggest sales this year has been nearly $20,000. One of the smallest sales this year has probably been, I think it was 1,250. It was just a, you know, one of the single images.
Right.
But that was the smallest.
So to get to, you know, $10,000 or $15,000, are they getting multiple collections? Are they have like the 7-Up or?
Yeah, they're getting bits and pieces for their houses, and that's what they're doing, because it might be, you know, a beautiful big 20 by 30 for the baby's wall of the newborn shoot. You know, newborn customers spend a lot. Newborn customers obviously love their first baby, and second babies and third babies don't give as much, obviously. But newborns, it's usually a pretty big sale, which is why I love doing newborns. But I actually love doing newborns because I just love babies. Clearly with six children and five grandchildren.
I'm going to ask you something specific about newborns in just a minute for the newborn photographers. And I'm also going to ask you, and you can say no to this, obviously, but maybe we can share a copy of your prices with premium members in the members group. That'd be awesome.
Oh, you can have everything you like.
I've never seen that. I love it. I think I'm still a bit like caught up with that whole idea of having a 6x4 price. That's so good.
I don't even think it's 6x4, Rob.
Oh, one.
A6 folded in half.
A6 folded in half. That is so good.
It's so cute.
I love it.
It's not scary. I think that's the point. Everything I do is based around making their experience good and not being frightened. Now, some people put their prices on the wall until it's just sitting there, so when they're looking around, they can see it straight away. That's fine. I just like to make everything I do quite personal and just guide people through, gently guide them through, so that there's just, you know inside they're going, far out, you know, that's a lot of money if they see the 2,900. But it's not as scary because we've done everything else first, not just thrown prices at them.
Right.
People who ring you up and are just shopping for price, let them. You're not going to win everybody, and there's plenty of work out there for everyone. Just enjoy it yourself. The people who are going to come to you, you will attract the right people that want to come to you.
Love that.
That appreciate your work.
Okay, let's continue with that scenario where I'm there with you. I've walked around the studio at the displays and I've got my prices in my hand. I love what I've seen. Are you looking now for a commitment from me to a piece?
No. Nope.
Okay, what happens next normally?
What I do then is then I say, okay, so then based on what we've talked about already, remember we've already talked about what we're going to do, perhaps we're going to talk about locations where we're going to go or how we're going to do it, what happens if it rains, what our backups are, whether we're coming to their home, whether I'm going to stay, you know, there, whether they're going to come to my studio and just shoot in my studio, yeah? We've done all that. What I'll do is I then get them to go home, and because I use ProSelect for selling, which is the most brilliant program out there for selling, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I just love it, and I don't get any kickback for anything. I just love it. I get them to go home and actually, you know, put the A4 piece of paper on the walls of the places that they possibly think they may have a piece of art on the wall. Because I say that because when you come back, I'm either going to shoot for something for the wall and I'll make sure I get that in the shoot. However, in case you decide to do a box set or a bit of both, let's just get those A4 papers on the wall. Send me the photograph by text, and I will actually make sure that I have your walls in the program ready. So when you come back and have a look, we'll make sure there's no problem with sizing.
Right, cool. And you say by text because Facebook often, if you're not friends on Facebook, Facebook will actually compress the image and make it look ugly. Is that why?
Well, okay, so I do this thing with text, okay? I speak to my clients even at 11 o'clock at night. This is not for everyone. Right. I have my mummies that call me at 3 in the morning, not call me, but text me at 3 in the morning because they're awake like I am. Right. But, you know what? Like I said, I've calmed everything down. So I just have my number of clients that I have. I get them to send me a picture of the clothing that they're going to wear. Sometimes they're out shopping and they'll send me a text and say, what do you think, Shireen? What I'm doing is I'm getting them to trust me so much that they don't think they can make a move without me and without what I think. Because then when it comes to actually showing them which images they should have and what they should do, I'm coming from the professional point of view to help guide them into buying what I think they really should have. And they trust me by that stage.
I love it.
Built such a beautiful trust that it's like, oh, what do you think? Like, seriously, I've got a client coming now. It's my fourth pregnancy shoot with her. And we do something beautiful every single time. And she gets so excited about the shoot that she goes, she sends me a text and the text was, oh, my God, Shireen, do you think you're up for it? Can you cope with me again? Yes, of course I can. You know what I mean? And I'll say I'm ready, you know, and that's it. And we have this beautiful relationship. It's about connections and relationships for me. That is how I've had a longevity of success in the industry, even after losing the business. After cancer, pretty much, almost lost it and had to rebuild it from scratch. And that was, a few years ago.
That's so good. Yeah. And I don't want to downplay the quality of your work too, because I know that plays a huge part. I'm conscious of the time because I know you've got an appointment after this. I want to ask something for the newborn photographers that are listening. One of the things I know they struggle with is getting in front of their ideal clients, even getting in front of their potential clients. Have you got a strategy, a tactic, a marketing idea that you know is a good thing to attract newborn photography clients?
Okay, so this is a tricky one. And the only reason it's tricky is because it's all sales are a numbers game, unfortunately. But it really is a numbers game. So you really have to get yourself out there and known to as many people as possible. So you need to start thinking outside the box. Who can you approach? Who can you talk to? Who can you connect with? Will they start sharing with their friends? When you're building up a business, you literally need to just almost have your business cards on you every single way that you go. I ask photographers, so have you got your business card? You know, because I mentor newbies in the industry and people who've been in for a long time, but have you got your business card on you? And they'll go, oh, no, it's at home. And I'll go, why? Why? Because every person, if you're sitting on a bus, the person next to you is a potential client. If you're in the supermarket and you bump into somebody and have a chat and you say, what a beautiful baby, blah, blah, blah. You know, if you talk to people, you have to get yourself out there. Mothers groups, church groups, you know, there are often in churches around your local area, there are mothers groups that connect there every week and, you know, new mothers groups and things like that. You just got to think outside the box. It's not all about just online marketing because that's a little bit more impersonal. But if you went to church and said, you know, look, I'd love to donate to the church. Could I please leave some business cards here for the mothers group? Or could I join the mothers group and just pop in to say hello and let them know what I do? You've just got to get yourself out there. There is no other way.
So get out from behind the computer.
Oh, absolutely. You have to. There's a bit of both. You know, obviously there's some people who are brilliant at Facebook marketing. They just nail it. They get it. There's a lot of people that come from the old school that would feel they don't know how to. You know, they're technically devoid like I am sometimes. And you know what I mean? I believe in the in-person because people connect with people just like I wanted to see you when I was speaking to you for this podcast rather than just talking to the blank screen. You know, connections are so important. How much did we smile at each other when we looked at each other for the first moment?
Yes.
And yet we've been waiting to talk to each other for ages. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, there's a connection and I believe very strongly in that connection for a good, solid business. You have to get out there.
I love it. Shireen, you're amazing. I could continue and I was warned by Tony and Bernie. They said, once you start, you're going to want to keep going.
Oh, no. That's so funny.
Yeah.
They know me well, don't they? I really hope I've been able to. I feel like I haven't given you much information, but because we've, you know, unfortunately.
Well, no, look, I think that was amazing. I think that there's no way anyone could listen to you and not have takeaways from this. So let's leave it there as far as the questions go. I had the 10 quick questions segment, had a whole lot of things ready to go for you. Well, how about we make a deal? Next time I'm in Melbourne, how about we get together? I come out to your studio and we do an in-person interview.
Oh, I love that.
That'd be great.
Come on down.
Well, that's all right. I'm going to hold you to that. Let's do that and we'll put that on the calendar. And for the list, I know you do photography mentoring or you mentor photographers. I saw that on your page. I'll add links to anything I can find on you and about you to the show notes. But where is the best place for the listener to go and, you know, if they had one URL, where would you send them to find out more about you?
Give me a call.
Really?
Give me a call. I'll talk to you.
Yeah, really?
Why not? Why would want to talk to you in person? It's my whole MO. Did you not get that, Andrew?
Well, I did. That's just a big call. So mobile number or?
Give them my mobile number.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem. Well, listen, one thing, Andrew, am I allowed to mention that Bernie and I have got a workshop in the UK coming up?
You can, absolutely, yes. So I believe it's in Surrey in a beautiful old...
Yes,
because I was talking to Bernie just last night.
Oh, right, okay, fantastic. Well, there you go.
So you're presenting together. So he's talking the business. Are you shooting as well?
I'm doing both. So Bernie's doing his coaching. I will do a little bit on the business of photography. He's going to do both, coaching and business of photography. I will also be doing business of photography in the afternoon on the first day. And then the second day is just all shooting. So the second day is like a half day. I think the Friday is the full day business, and then the Saturday is half day shooting. I think it's something like that. Bernie will send you the link if you like.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, look, and I'll add that to the show notes as well. Fantastic. Well, I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. And if you're listening and you're based in the UK, get down and see Shireen and Bernie because it'll be an amazing couple of days.
Thank you.
Shireen, you've been amazing. Can't wait to catch up in person. Can't believe it's taken this long to get you on the show. And I'm looking forward to chatting more in the future.
It will be lovely. Thank you so much. I'm really honoured that you asked me, and I hope that listeners have got something from it. So, yeah, thanks so much, Andrew.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Shireen as much as I did. Shireen, if you're listening, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you did. You are amazing. I love everything that you had to share. I know the listener will have got a ton from everything you did share today as well. So thank you. For you, the listener, yeah, I hope you did get as much as I did from Shireen. I know that if you're a premium member, you will absolutely be looking forward to checking out next week's episode, the premium members only episode. That's the follow-up interview with Shireen, where we dive more deeply into her marketing, sales, advertising, and business tactics. So stay tuned for that one for next week if you're a premium member. Don't forget also, if you are a premium member, I've got copies of Shireen's price list inside the members area of the show notes. So head over to your area to see that. And as I mentioned earlier, Shireen is already a part of the members Facebook group. So if you have a follow-up question for Shireen, hit her up there. And for links, head to the show notes, photobizx.com/324.
Cooey! It's shout out time.
One big shout out for today's episode, and it goes to Sussex family photographer Alan Wright, who's based in the UK. And Alan has left a 5-star rating and a lovely review in iTunes. He says he's been a listener to the podcast for almost a year and he recently became a premium member. He says if you're on the fence about becoming a member, just do it. He goes on to say the weekly dose of motivation and enthusiasm has been essential in helping him drive his photography business forward. He loves the guests and they've shared some incredibly helpful advice. He's taken away numerous ideas to implement into his own business. So Alan, that is awesome, mate. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave that rating and review. It does help other photographers find the podcast in iTunes. So yeah, mate, thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you in London. So if you are based in the UK, you may remember that Linda and I have talked about heading up and having a bit of a catch up with you if you're available. So we do have some dates now. So Linda and I will be staying with Darren Lehane in London, and we're going to have a catch-up, if you're available, in London on Wednesday, the 28th of August. So there's details on this inside the members Facebook group, but shoot me an email if you need any more details. I'm pretty sure Darren has found a venue in the centre of London somewhere. The catch-up is going to be at 2 p.m. on the 28th of August. So it's 2 p.m. on the 28th of August. But let me know if you need any more details, if you're looking to come along to that. We'll also be in Edinburgh on Thursday, the 5th of September. We're going to organise a venue to catch up there. Again, let's say it's going to be 2 p.m. in Edinburgh. I'm guessing at a local pub in town. Should be easy for everyone to get there. So I'd love to see you if you're a listener. Obviously, you are if you're hearing this. And you can make it to either of those catch-up dates. So Wednesday, the 28th in London, and in Edinburgh on Thursday, the 5th of September. It'd be great to see you there if you can make it.
Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. Probably a good time to finish up because I can hear a chainsaw in the background, which is pretty strange being in a national park. They would be swarmed upon if anyone started up a chainsaw in a national park in Australia, that is for sure. Alrighty, that's it for me for this week. I'll be back next week with a members-only episode, the follow-up episode with Shireen Hammond. I can tell you now, she shares some amazing stuff in that episode. So keep an ear out for that one. And if you listen to the free podcast, I'll catch you the week after. All right, have an awesome week and I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
That's all for this episode. If you've enjoyed the interview, head to the show notes at photobizx.com to find more information, to leave a comment, or to share your thoughts. Adios, and talk to you next week.